We're going to look at the issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to see what Paul meant when he's saying you cannot be partakers of the table of devils and drink of the cup of devils. Let's go to verse 19. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. Matter of fact, come up to verse 18. Paul says, "Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the tables of devils." And what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying you can't do both. You can't be of this world and be of God. You can't do the things of this world and also be one that want to be led by the Spirit. You're going to be led by this world. And that's what this study is about. This study is about following Paul instead of following this world and its evil things. And this is similar to what even the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught the apostles, that they're going to have the comforter there to guide them, and that this world hates them. And Satan has a desire. He had a desire to sift Peter as wheat. And that's a doctrinal design that we have and we're giving to show how we're not supposed to go after this world. Now, let's come back to verse 6 while you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Come back to verse 6. I'm just going to look at the verse itself because we have many verses to cover here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, you notice he says we should not lust after evil things. And when you're lusting after something, you're following after this. You are being led by it. And the Apostle Paul has shown the differences between eating and drinking of the Lord and eating and drinking of this world. And there are many who were spiritually and physically, they sat down to eat and drink of this world. But there were some that did not lust after evil things, meaning instead of going after this world and its ways, some followed after the will and ways of the Lord and continue to eat the same spiritual meat and drink the same spiritual drink of the Lord. Now come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 1 here. Paul says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Paul is saying here, he's saying he wants the Corinthians to follow him. And following him is not following him as Paul the man, but it's following him as Paul the apostle, the man sent from God, that doctrine that was delivered unto him. And that's why he says that you remember me in all things. And again, not the physical man, Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He says, keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. This is the way that they ought to follow things, that they ought to follow would be to follow what Paul says here. Now, what I want to do is would like for you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And the reason why we're doing this here is I know some of you might be familiar with, there's a movie called The War Room. And I'm using this for an example because it's widely publicized. People are talking about it and things like that. And, you know, when I watch movies like that, I watch it with the understanding of knowing what this movie is and what it is not, because there's people that watch it and people might need help. And you know what it is? It's about someone going into a prayer closet, and they feel that this is because what Matthew chapter 6 is where they get it from. They feel that there's a necessity to have a prayer closet. And if you have a prayer closet, there can be reward in that. And that's of a godly nature to have something like that. And the main reason for pointing all this out is because people of today, we deal with a lot of people with different denominations. They're in different denominations in the church world today. They call themselves Christians. And I'm not talking about the Muslims and anyone else, but the ones that call themselves Christians, we have family members, friends, people we might run across at the job or just neighbors, and they are in denominational, they're churchgoers. Now, how are we taught to deal with these people? And that's what the whole outset of this study is going to be about. It's going to be about how we're taught of God, how to deal with people of this world. And oftentimes we know that they're still in a bad doctrine, still under bad doctrine. They're being taught that. But do we deal with them the way we ought to? We ought to look upon them as the lost of this world, because that's what they are. But they're not only the lost in a sense of even if they're being taught bad doctrine as far as they're not justified. In most cases, most of them aren't justified. But some are. But the ones that are not justified, we have to treat them differently. We have to give, we're taught to give them the gospel. And we're going to see that later on. To the ones that are justified, we're taught to give them the doctrine. But actually, the idea is that these people that are with these other denominations, they are the soldiers of Satan. And I'm not just talking about the ones that are preaching the word. I'm talking about the ones that are sitting in the pews in those denominational churches. They are Satan's disciples. And it might sound harsh. It might seem like it's far-fetched to say that. But these are the ones that Satan is actually using, because these are the ones that are propagating that other gospel. These are the ones that are actually working against God. They're actually working iniquity against God and his word and his saints. Now let's come to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to deal with the verse, and then I'm going to give you a little, let me give you a little insight behind it all. Matthew 6, let's go to verse 5 here. Let's go to verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, if you just take this verse right here, you're going to assume that you should get a prayer closet. And when you pray in secret, the Father's going to see you because of who you are. You know, you're his anointed, like they say. And he's going to reward you openly. And this is what's being taught. This is what's being taught in the churches. These churches have set the groundwork for self-justification, self-sanctification, and self-exaltation. They're preaching and teaching something that God's word does not say. Now let's go to verse 1, and we're going to deal with the whole context of it. I just wanted to deal with that verse at that time, but let's look at come back up to verse 1, and let's see what the Lord is actually saying here. Take heed that ye do no alms before do your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm going to stop there. What the Lord is saying that yesterday we touched on the issue about the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee said, I give alms of all I possess. I give tithes. I do this. I do give the charity. Okay. And that's what is being done and what the Lord is saying, that there are some, like the Pharisees, when they give to charity or give all their alms, and even today, the people today, when the churches or whoever, whether it's Oprah or whoever it is, when they say they're giving, they want the whole world to know about it. And they're doing it for not only tax reasons, but they're doing it because of publicity. They're doing it because of glory and you glorying in them. They're not doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. But this is what the Lord is saying here. Now I want you to pay attention to this here. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Notice he said the synagogues. That's the religious men. And, of course, the Lord doesn't mean actually take a trumpet and sound it. He's saying, you know, when you do something, you're doing out of the kindness of your heart. And you're not doing it to be seen. It's not about being seen when you're doing what he's explaining here. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward, and I'm going to stop there. Their reward is men glorying in them, and they have a reward of the Father in that day when they're going to get that baptism with fire, these men here. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And of course, I'm going to stop there. What he's saying is, when you do your alms, do it in secret. Do it out of the kindness of your heart. You don't have to try to impress God, so to speak here. Now, let's go to verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And what the Lord is saying here, the Lord is saying, when you pray, don't do as the others do, the holy men of Israel do. And the Lord dealt with that in Matthew chapter 23. He dealt with the issue of how the Pharisees do when they pray. But he's saying pray in the most hidden area when you pray, because he's using the contrast of ones doing it openly, and he's saying that you go to the most secretive place in the closet, the most hidden place to you. And that's why he says in secret, he says word thee openly. Because these guys are doing things openly. And this is the whole purpose of what's being said here. And then let's go to verse 6. Well, actually, verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Okay, so What the Lord is saying here, the Father knows what you need, what you have need of, not what you want. But the Father knows what you have need for. And he's going to explain it to Israel here. Take no thought wherewith you shall be clothed, or what you should eat, or what you should drink. Your Father know you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's not how it, I just went through the verse, but that's what it says in a nutshell there. But that's what it's talking about here. It's not talking about that you have to go get a prayer closet. And to teach that would be ungodly, and it would be damaging, and it's actually damnation to the functional life of a saint. And if ones aren't justified, this is only confusing them more, because they think that they should and they have to do this, and they will be rewarded of God. But this is damaging and detrimental to ourselves also, when we believe that stuff ourselves, you know, and we need to be taught by our Father how we are to walk when we hear these things. And, you know, when I hear these things, when I hear people say these things like that, I make sure that I understand the doctrine of what they are caught up in so I can help them. Now, if you will, can you come over to 2 Timothy? I'm going to deal with actually the whole chapter of 2 Timothy here. Because the whole chapter of 2 Timothy, it goes on to explain how a father ought to teach a son, how Paul is going to be teaching Timothy how to teach other men to teach their congregations. So you're going to see here, there's a lot of groundwork here for not only a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but also for ones who are teaching it, living it, and spreading the word to others also as an ambassador out there. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice the first thing said here, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's explaining, Paul is using the term son here because as a father, he's given instructions unto his son, Timothy, in the faith to follow him. And notice that here. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And we're going to see, and what they're being taught is the things that Paul is teaching. Not the things that you see over in Matthew chapter 6 about a prayer closet. You know, that would be the only time you would see any saint to ever, matter of fact, we never seen any saint in the Bible preach or pray in a prayer closet, or even make mention of a prayer closet, or to go and pray in a closet. Now, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's what it takes. It takes hardness to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It takes you to be faithful. But it also takes this one thing here. Also, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's pleasing God. And we please God, we're not pleasing ourselves. Being entangled with the affairs of this life, we will be pleasing ourselves. Verse 5, and if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. The reason why Paul is saying this here is because the thought of the natural man would be, wow, you're telling me to give up the affairs of this life? Wow. And to please God? You know, so, and what he's explaining here, he's saying that, yeah, there's going to be sacrifice. And he's going to explain that that's why you're laboring as a soldier. There's going to be rewards, though. Pause, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And that's how we get understanding in all things, is looking in our Bibles and reading what Paul says, taking, and not just that, but comparing what he says to what the Word of God says. And we can have understanding in all things that concerns us in this Gentile, dispensation of Gentile grace. We can know all things. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. And many were going along saying that Paul was an evildoer. Now that's why he's in prison. He's an evildoer. And Paul uses himself as an example. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And this right here is dealing with the issue of sanctification only. This is dealing with working. This is dealing with laboring in the doctrine. And that's what this is saying here. That's what it's talking about. We shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. That's the works. That's the reward system there. If we deny him, he will also deny us. That's our reward, in our rewards. If we believe not, yet he, notice it's we, justified people. It's not saying if a person, if we don't believe, then he's still going to justify if we become a Muslim later on down the line. But we know you can't lose your salvation. And the only way a person would do that is say they're Christian and become a Muslim or a Jew or whatever they are, or just an atheist. They never trusted and understood the gospel to begin with. But this is talking about service here. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, as you see here, Paul says, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, God does wasted airtime when you could be using those words to the subverting of the hearers, where people can not only get the doctrine of justification, but they can also come to understand the word of truth and understand how to rightly divide the word of truth, understand the sanctification. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philolytus, who concerning the truth hath erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now that's what I'm after here. That's the theme of the whole study here. The issue here is, after Paul says, study so thyself approved, the workman unto God, needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, Paul says next, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And that these guys, Hymenaeus and Philolytus, they erred when they were talking about Jesus Christ. Now, they're preaching Jesus Christ. These guys were probably justified. These guys were preaching Jesus Christ, but they said that the resurrection, the rapture, is past already. And when they did that, they overthrew the faith of some. Now, we have people that teach that. There are people that teach that. There are millions of people in this world that actually teach that type of doctrine. Now, the idea here is, notice what Paul says that this is. Verse 19, not only is it ungodliness, but nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, what iniquity is, and we discussed that last night, iniquity is something, is doing something that's personally offensive to God. That's what iniquity is. And it's similar, and I used this analogy before, but it's similar if you tell your child that they can use your car only on a Wednesday, but they go and they take your car on a Thursday, and not only do they take it on Thursday, which when they take it on the other day, that's transgressing against you of what you said. Now you get your car back, finally, and you look in your car, and the windows are busted out, the seats are ripped up, there's no gas in the car, everything is torn up, they threw a bucket of paint in there. Now that's all that is personally offensive to you. Not only is just going and sinning and transgressing against you, but it's doing something personally offensive. That's what iniquity is. And when you have these people here, what these people here are doing is they're doing something, when they're teaching another gospel, they're actually committing iniquity against God. They're doing something, but we don't see these people as doing this. A lot of times, oftentimes, we have people that we know that teach the word, teach this other doctrine. We have people that go to the churches and they come back and they say those gospel cliches that we pick up and we say. And what they end up doing, they end up teaching you. Yeah, and let's look at that here. Let's go to verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And notice, meet for the master's use. God can use you. You know, God can't fully utilize those people that's teaching that erroneous doctrine. But Satan can use them, and Satan is using them. Do you know that the people that we see every day when we pass by these churches, they are the Sadducees and the Pharisees of our day? The people that we know, the people that we come in contact with, they are the same ones that the Lord said, ye are of your father the devil. I mean, they're not crucifying people, but the idea is that the damaging doctrine that they are propagating, and I'm not talking about the ones that are teaching the words. We know that they are Satan's ministers. I'm talking about the ones that actually partake in this, that are actually doing as Israel was doing when Israel rose up and played. They departed from what God said, and they went after following after this world. This world has implemented a system of doctrine that people are following after, where it's utterly idolatry. And we have to understand the things that they do, and we know the things that they're caught up in, whether it's the baptism, the tongue speaking, the tithing, any other thing that tell you that you have to work to be saved, and all these other things that are damaging to the soul of people. How do we think that God views that person? You know, these are the ones that Satan uses. This is the ones when you see Paul talks about these grievous wolves and evil men and seducers and things of that nature. That's who he's talking about. They weren't just only limited to Paul's day. Matter of fact, they're worse. I mean, you had some people over at Ephesus, and they were Diana worship, and you had other Jews and a couple idol worshippers here and there. But today, in Christianity, there are over 5,000 different sects in the groups, if you want to call it, in Christianity. I mean, if that's not outright iniquity, I don't know what is. They're taking Christianity and caused a divide in it to the nth degree. But then they what they do is that they say, when you have a Methodist and a priest and a guy that's a Baptist preacher, and they all hold hands and they stand up there, you know, and they feel that, well, you do it your way, I do it my way, we get it done, don't we? And they think there's nothing wrong being of one faith, so to speak. But that's the complete opposite of what God says. He said, let there be no divisions among you. That's not a good thing. Your glory is not good. But enough of that. Let's go to verse 22. Verse 22, Paul says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, charity, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure would give them repentance to acknowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, we need to stop ourselves from allowing ourselves to be instructed by these people. But see, we need to be the ones that need to teach them with patience. See, we allow ourselves to be taught by mankind out here, by the church world. When we came out of that doctrine that we belong to, we need to understand that everything that was brought over, everything over there, we can't bring it to what we're doing today, because it's not going to line up with God's word. And when I say everything, if it's not justification, if you didn't get justified, if you got justified over there and you understood your justification, then that's great. But other than that, there's nothing else you can bring from that other denomination that you can use in this dispensation of Gentile grace. Because if it's not for edification, if it's not of the edifying of yourself and of others, it's of no use to God. Now, godly charity and love, you have to know how to do that. And we've seen in Matthew chapter 6, doing charity and love, doing charity and good works, if it's not done out of love, then it's not of God. Well, let's come over to Romans chapter. Let's come over to Romans chapter 16, and you notice when it said over there, instructing those that oppose themselves, and hold your place here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 first. I want to just touch on that. This is instructing those that oppose themselves. See, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. We can oppose our own self from getting the truth. We can be ones that stand in our own way. And it's like it says here, if God will preadventure give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. Well, God's not going to actually just single them out and say, hey, here, I'm going to give you repentance for the truth. But that's saying that if these guys would actually change their way of thinking, if they change their way of thinking based upon God's word, then that's how God will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. Because we give people the truth all the time, and they don't want to hear it a lot of times. But if they have that repentant heart, they'll understand what God is really doing and how God really works. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And that's what they're in. They're trapped, but they're taken captive by him. It says at his will. And they're taken captive and they're doing his will. That's what they're doing. They're doing the will of Satan. And it might not seem like they are. You know, I have many loved ones and friends and things like that that are caught up in this world. Members, people at the job, people, neighbors, and you know, they're taken captive. A lot of them don't want to hear it. A lot of them, they're on my contact list. I send out messages to them to join us with the weekly study here. Some do, most don't. They don't want to hear it. But what we do is we do it in meekness. We strive, even though we're told not to strive, but that doesn't mean strive in the sense of working in an unprofitable manner. We do it in the sense of being a workman and ones that want to give people that impose themselves to doctrine. And that's what we're taught to do. We're taught not to be one that a workman needed not to be ashamed. You study as a workman with the idea of helping others, helping them get out of that snare that they may recover themselves, because they don't understand that they do belong to Satan, and they're working together with him. They think like he does. They're doing things his way, and they're working together with him. They're in complete ungodliness and iniquity, working against God. Now let's come over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, let's look at verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. Also says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad to all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now Paul says, I beseech you, brother. In other words, I beg you, brother, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now I'm going to ask you this. Would someone that is going around saying that they're God's anointed, would they be ones that's causing divisions and offenses contrary to what you have learned? Of course. Would ones that say they have a prayer closet be ones that are walking in that manner? Sure. But we work with these people. We have them in our family. Hopefully we're not married to them. We might have brothers and sisters and things like that, mother, father, that are given and taken captive by Satan. And we're taught to give them the doctrine. You're taught at the outset of the study here, we just went over the doctrine where Paul says you cannot be partakers of the table of devils and drink the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of, you can't do both. You can't be with the table of the Lord and the table of devils. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and drink the cup of the devils. You can't do both. And these people are partaking of the table of the devils and they're partaking of the drinking of the cup of the devils. But what we're taught to do to get them out of the snare of the devil is you're taught to give them the doctrine. You're taught to give them the doctrine. And there's a time, and you know Paul himself is not explaining, is telling you if you have someone around you, just avoid them. You're taught to help them. Help them get themselves out of the snare of the devil. Because they don't fully understand that they are Satan's and they belong to him. And that's why Paul says here, he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some might think that they do. So, but their own belly and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And again, this is not only just the preacher that's doing this. This is not only just the preacher. I hear more ungodly stuff from the people, whether I'm at the bank or whether I'm at the market or wherever I'm at. I hear this on a constant basis, these cliches that people pick up on a daily basis that they never read in the Bible. And when they do that, others learn it. And others learn it. They take it upon themselves. These people are being taught. You know, you have people who say they go and they, when they go out of town, there's certain things that they feel that if they pray properly, then God's going to make them have a safe journey. But that would be so far from the truth because that's not how God's word works. Our purpose as saints down here is to come into the knowledge of truth, to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. And then as we've seen over in Timothy, to save others also. With the end goal of us either being raptured out of here or dying first and being in heavenly places with our Father where we can work with him. The Father's will is not making sure we have safe trips or if we make sure that we wake up in the morning and things like that. That has nothing to do with God's will, but it has everything to do with our will. Now let's come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And again, some of the things that I say might go against the norm, and some people said you're dispensationalist, but you're extremist. Now when you're not going against, when you're not going along with everyone else says, then it might seem to be such. But I like to stick strictly with what God's word says, and not worry about hurting someone's feelings because they believe a bad doctrine. When you can sometimes help people that are opposing themselves and are taken captive by Satan, whether they understand the word rightly divided and they're justified or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 14. Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, Paul is saying here that you can't be both. You can't have fellowship with people that are unbelievers. And now, what have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? He's saying you can't mix the two. And the idea here is that we have to understand when we see people that are caught up in this bad doctrine, and when we're ones that try to give them the doctrine, we try to help them, and we labor in doing this, we're told that there comes a time when you have to say, if any man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. But we can't afford to allow ourselves to be taken in by this bad doctrine or by the people that propagate it. And some people say, well, I don't want to cause an argument all the time. Or they're just going to say, oh, here he goes again. Well, one, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And two, we're taught that we're supposed to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We're supposed to be ones that are supposed to be soldiers that are not allowing ourselves to be entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. We're told we're supposed to be ones that are to mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. Now, I'm going to go to one more verse here. Let's come on to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to come to one more thing here, and then we're going to close and open up for Q&A session. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions, strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing in this world to serve, we can carry nothing out. I'm going to stop there. Looking at this and what's being said here, this doesn't say that these guys weren't justified. They're evidently teaching Jesus Christ, because he's explaining that even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which according to godliness, these guys are not teaching the way they ought to teach. They're teaching Jesus Christ in another way. They're more than likely knowing him after the flesh and teaching him that way. These people that teach that gain is godliness, we know what they're doing. They're going over there and they're teaching the issue of that the prosperity doctrine. But we're told these people have a corrupt mind and they're destitute of the truth. And we know that they're teaching out of God's word. Because people aren't going to fall for a counterfeit that doesn't look anything like the truth. Now let's look at verse nine. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And again, you see that word err. Many have erred from the faith. And they said money is the root of all evil. See, when whether we know it or whether the people that follow this doctrine know what they're doing, they're still following after Satan. And they're lusting after evil things. And these ungodly things is part of what this world has instituted as, again, the battleground for Satan and what Satan has instituted as being church. And now church is considered, what you do now in church is they have a self-justification system that's telling you you have to work for your salvation. They have a self-sanctification, which is saying that you have to keep working to the end, and you have to, there's certain things you have to do in the church. Like, you see all the things that they have people do now. They have different garage sales and everything, whatever else is going on in the church. And self-exaltation. People glorying in the pastor. They glory in the so-called first lady. They glory in people. This is what they do. And they want you to glory in themselves. That's self-exaltation. But this is an ungodly and iniquitous way of doing things. They are committing iniquity against the doctrine of our Father. And what we're taught to do as saints, sons and daughters in Christ, is to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, instructing those in meekness that oppose themselves. And out of love, not only for the Father and his doctrine and his Son, but for the love of the people that are caught in a snare by Satan and taken captive of him at his will, we ought to want to labor in this doctrine as a soldier. We want to be ones that Paul says over in 2 Timothy about ones that a man that strives for masteries, a husbandman that laboreth, and things like that. We should want to labor in the doctrine so we can help these people pull themselves out of a snare. And be not ones that are ashamed, because that's the word people miss when they look at 2 Timothy 2:15. They miss that part. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And that shame can come from two ways. One, because you're not studying enough and you talk to somebody about the doctrine and you get tripped up, so to speak, because you haven't had enough doctrine in you, where you haven't studied hard enough. You weren't a workman like you ought to have been. Or another way is it causing shame where you just clam up altogether. And you feel, oh, well, what's the use? But that's the way Satan works. That's the way this system works, to keep you clammed up, to keep you where you're keeping the doctrine of God your Father hid within yourself. But that's not how you're taught to do. And even though when you look at verse 16 in 2 Timothy 2:16, when it says, "But shun profane and vain babbling," you're told to shun these things. You're told to mark them and avoid them. You're told to withdraw yourself from these people. That's how you're taught to deal with these people. You're taught to first give them the doctrine out of love. And the idea is that you ought to be have enough doctrine in you where you can be able to help these people that oppose themselves. And then there will come a time where you have to mark them and say, well, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. But depending on the person, depending on who they are, how would be how you strive to get them as a good soldier. And again, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You have a war on your hands as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that is to take the doctrine which you have learned and give it unto the people. And like Paul said also earlier, explained about that it's supposed to be to subverting of the hearers, not wasting time, but to subverting of the hearers so that they can be justified, that they can come out of that snare. And that's what you're entrusted to do as a faithful son and daughter in Christ. And with that, I'm going to close. I went a little bit over here. But I'm going to open things up for Q&A session. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to chime in and leave a comment. Or if you have a question, feel free to ask. And again, this is something that we have to hold highly, put on a high pedestal, if I want to put it like that. Something that we should strive to want to do. This should drive us, that we should want to work together with our Father in doing this and helping others of the world that are given unto Satan and that are led by him and following after him and not following after Apostle Paul and his doctrine for us to us today. I'm going to go to the first caller, 4391, you're in the queue.
Praise the Lord.
Where's Laura? How you doing there?
I'm blessed. I have a scripture here in Acts 9:15. And when talking to Acts 9:15.
Oh, 9:15, okay.
When talking to people that are not saints of God and following Paul's teachings, Paul, and Paul followed Christ. And over here in Matthew 10:5, they go not in the way of the Gentiles. And so to the 12, told the 12 not to do so. I share basically those two scriptures with mostly people in Apostolic Church. I came out and shared with them about the difference between Paul's teaching and the 12.
Mm-hmm.
And not for them to go to the Gentiles, but for Paul to go to them.
Right, right, and a lot of people, yeah, what they do, when you tell them that, the first thing they do is take you to Matthew 28, see right there, it says go out into the world, and then, yeah, you can take them over to Luke, when it says, but tarry ye in Jerusalem, and then you show them over in Acts chapter 1 that they were still in Jerusalem, and what are they waiting on, you know? But, you know,
right.
one thing I like to do for people that are apostolic and you try to show them the doctrines about what whether Paul, you know, saying that Paul is the apostle for today. Now, there are many, many verses that Paul explains that he is the apostle of the Gentiles and that by him the preaching might be made fully known. And like when Paul says he's a minister and a preacher to every creature which is under heaven. And just the idea of showing them that Paul is our apostle today, some of those things you can let some people can see that, but then there come a time when they want to mark you and avoid you when you're not saying what they want you to, but you're not saying what they want to hear. You know, it's an uphill battle. You know,
it took years to believe it too. And I sat up on the Pastor Willie for 20 years, and I didn't believe it either. So that I kept coming back to the Grace Church, even though I was going along in grace at the same time, but the Lord opened my eyes to see the truth, and I thank God, and I believe if you just keep on just sharing the gospel with people that, you know, pray that, you know, God will open their eyes, you know. That's basically what I can say. As far as relationships with the world, I don't think people understand when you get saved by grace through faith that you have to break your friendship off with the people from the apostolic or Baptist churches. They don't understand that. They don't understand you have to break your friendship off because they're idolatrous.
Yeah, and what's going to happen, I'll tell you what, a lot of times you don't even have to mark them and avoid them. If you're around people like that, and every time, I don't care what happens, and you bring up the subject of the doctrine, because they're going to do it anyway. And if they're not going to come around you,
right? That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to mark you, and they're going to avoid you. But what you do is, I don't care what it has to do with. They could be talking about, oh, you know, I just had a dream last night, and God gave me a number. I'm about to go play this number now. And, you know, and that opens the door right there. You know what I mean? And they don't even have to say it like that, but they could just say anything and a door can be opened. And I do that at the job a lot of times when people talk about sports or something, and I say, yeah, well, you know, all the money that them guys making, you know, they can't take it with them. And it's, now that opens the door for me to talk about the Bible, you know, talk about doctrine with them. But after a while, what happens is they start to mark you, and they start to avoid you.
Right.
Yeah.
But
we got to give them the word, though. You got to
right.
give them the verses.
Just a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How you doing, Pastor Timmy? I'm going to hold up. I've got other people got to talk to and everything. But I just like your great message, you know, and everything about warning the doctrine, our doctrine in Paul, Epistle in 2 Timothy 4, mm-hmm. about then doing being a good soldier and, mm-hmm. you know, what God will have for us to do to share and get this good news out to the lost because somebody
right.
gave it to us. Hoping, you know, they preached to share the good news with us. And that Terrence thing, you say you're not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I share the good news of the gospel, Lord. God, somebody shared it with me.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I want to comment on that.
But I'm going to tell you something good, and I do appreciate you, as always. When we're out here witnessing to people, the
mm-hmm.
best way to witness to someone is have a timeline with you, if you can keep one. I have a timeline, and I have it where it has plastic around it. They have a plastic cover. You can get them like at Office Max or one of them office stores, and you can put that in there, and you can have that sheet where it can be seen, and you have on both covers covered with the plastic. And when
uh-huh.
you're witnessing the people and you're using the timeline, because remember, that's how we learn. You know, when you're looking at I don't care whether you're looking at Richard Jordan or Les Feldick or whoever you're looking at, or
uh-huh.
if your pastor teacher does it, the timeline is a great way for you to show someone where they fit in God's program.
Amen.
By taking them all the way to Romans, or all the way to Genesis out there, and you're looking at Genesis and time past, and you're walking them all the way across that timeline and where we fit in. And that's, I found that to be very, very effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
and when I minister onto people, my numbers have went up, my percentage has went up a lot more when I witness to them with that timeline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great, that's excellent. And just to add to what it, like, no division among, you know, about division, they call it division, but it was another good verse you could look at with faith. It was in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore, seeing we have ministry that we have renounced mercy, we have faint not, but have
mm-hmm.
renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craft and handling the word of God deceitfully. So there is a lot of people out there handling God's word deceitfully, preaching the wrong doctrine.
That's right. That's exactly right. That is a great verse. That is a great verse. Thank you for pointing that out. And, you know, that's the way it is. And people are handling God's word deceitfully. But, and they're walking in dishonesty, whether they know they are or not. And our gospel, our gospel is going to be hid. The ones that, the one we're supposed to teach is going to be hid to them, they're lost because their mind is blinded from the glorious light. They're blinded because of what this world has given onto them.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking darkness for light.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making your light, they're taking your light and looking at it like darkness. You know yourself when you minister to people, they look at you like you're crazy.
Amen.
You know, you know, and that's the way that's the way this world is now. The things we say, it's foreign. It's very foreign to them. Like if I say that someone has a prayer closet, that's an ungodly way of doing things, they're going to think that I'm speaking darkness.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to think I'm handling God's word deceitfully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, this is right.
I so do appreciate your teaching. I so do appreciate that. You know. Appreciate that. And I'm sharing it with other people. And always will and always into the Lord. Take my brother. Sharing the good news with somebody. Shared it with me.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you, Sister Teresa and Sister Dennis.
Can we get your address?
Yeah. I'll text it to you, and that way, you'll get it right and everything like that.
Well, do you have an envelope with your address so we can send you some?
I can give you that information. Like I said, I'll text it to you.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to get it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye.
Talk to you. Bye. Okay, I want to go to the next caller here. We'll go to Sister Felicia. You're on.
Hi, Brother Rod.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Great message tonight.
Thank you very much.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
How would you suggest ministering to someone who has their own Bible? It's not the King James Version, but it's their Bible for their own religion.
Now, when you say religion, do you mean do they call themselves Christian?
No, they call themselves Muslims or the Jewish religion. They mainly Muslim.
Okay.
They'll discredit the Holy Bible and say, "Well, my Bible has the accurate word, not yours."
Well, one thing with the Muslims, with the Quran was written in 599, okay? And what they do is they'll say, well, your Bible was written in 1611. But what they need to understand is that the original text, which is the Textus Receptus, was written and put together in 100 AD with the Peshitti Bible. And what we have predates what they have. And see, what I like to do with Muslims a lot of times, because the first thing they'll tell you is that Paul was a false apostle. That's what they'll tell you, that Paul was a false apostle. They'll say, yeah, well, Paul is a self-appointed apostle. And I say, oh, really? I say, okay, well, do you believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet? Yes, I do. I do believe he's a prophet. And that's what they'll tell you. They don't believe that he died for the sins. I say, what about the apostle Peter? Do you believe he was an apostle of the Lord? And they say, yeah, I believe that. And that's what you have to say to them. And then take them over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and show them what Peter says about Paul. And that he talks about the account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom unto him hath written unto you, as in all his epistles, speaking, he calls them scriptures. So, and I take them there. Another thing I do for them all the time is I say, what was Muhammad when Muhammad got spoken to by the angel Gabriel, because that's what they say, the angel Gabriel spoke to Muhammad. I said, was he Jew or was he Gentile? Because it makes a difference, because if he was a Gentile, which we know he was, he should have taken Galatians chapter 1 when it says, if any man or any angel preach any other gospel unto you, let it be accursed. That's what he should have done. He shouldn't have took heed to this angel that spoke this other gospel to him in 599 A.D. You know, there are certain things that I do with the Muslim, you know, because I explain to him about his righteousness and how he thinks he's working for his righteousness. And I also explain to him about the issue of Ishmael and Isaac. See, they think that Ishmael is the father of their doctrine. Well, actually, that's what he is. They think Ishmael was the one with promise because he was the firstborn son.
Oh, wow.
So I take them through that stuff too also. But mostly I like to sit down with those guys and I like to talk to them all the time. One thing, since you're in Michigan, if you ever have one you need to talk to, I'll be more than happy to talk with them and things like that. I do that all the time.
Yeah, I actually do. But just to sum it all up, in general, with any religion that have their own Bible, it's best to refer to the date that their Bible was created versus the Holy Bible. That's the best way to go about doing it.
Yeah, you can do that for one, and also you could explain to them that especially like with the Muslims, that there's no scriptures that they have that correlates with our scriptures. Their scriptures, it was written afterwards, but you'll never see any of the scriptures saying just as it is written in the book of Solomon or just as it was written in Isaiah. Their book doesn't line up with that. Just like the Apocrypha, it doesn't line up with the 66 books of the Bible. And again, you're dealing with ones who, when they have their own Bible, they have their own system and religion. And they're trying to work for their righteousness. Yeah, they're trying to work for their righteousness.
Yeah, because what I'm seeing, they'll immediately discredit any scriptures you get to them and say, well, hey, my Bible says this. So you're pretty much going back and forth, and they're saying, well, I have a Bible too, and I have scriptures too. So it's like a losing battle.
It might seem as though, but one thing you got to do is you have to take them back to the beginning. You have to go back to the beginning, and the beginning is with Ishmael and Isaac, and understanding that Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael already got what Ishmael was owed, and Muhammad was born over there in Mecca, and at that time they had idolatry going on over there. His uncle was a preacher, and his uncle told him some things about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And he learned a little bit of that. He told people about the true and living God, the God of Ishmael, and they started a whole religion based upon that.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, if you ever need any help with that issue, feel free to contact me, and I'll help you with anything you need on that issue also.
All right. I will do. Thanks a lot, and God bless.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye. Bye.
Okay, if anyone else has a comment or question, feel free to chime in. But other than that, we'll get ready to close. And again, we have to understand who we are in Christ, and we have to understand the need to want to be ambassadors for Christ and good soldiers that do not want to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, but help others. Help others get themselves out of that snare that oppose themselves. And even if they are of a different religion and they don't even call themselves Christian, we have to do the investigation to find ways of helping these people, just like as Sister Talisha just mentioned there. And when we do that, we will find out that we can be an effective soldier and son and daughter in Christ and live on to him like we ought to. And with that, I'm going to close. And I thank everyone for listening.